I want you to notice in Revelation chapter 3, what is one of the truly the great, great metaphors written, given here in the Word of God. We begin in verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." Verse 8. "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." Look down at verse 20. "Behold," Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Chapter 4 and verse 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." Now, you know, the illustration of a door in these texts, used by the Lord Jesus here, also used by the prophets, and also used by the apostles, as I said, is one of those metaphors that sort of transcends time and culture. Not everybody knows necessarily what an ephah is or even what a wine press is in the Bible, but everybody knows what a door is. In fact, everybody in this room uses doors. How many doors do you suppose that you have walked through your own self just today? How many doors this week have you locked or unlocked, or to your dismay found that it was locked because the place you were going to was closed? How many doors have you passed through that had security monitors on them? The truth is, every single person who's in this room right now came into this room through a door that either you opened or was opened for you. So doors are an everyday part of our lives. Some time ago, I helped a man unlock his car doors. He locked his keys in the car. They were sitting there right on the seat of his car, and apparently he thought I knew how to break into a car, and I did. So I helped him get in there. But he wasn't very happy about his keys being in there. Judging by his language, he was not a new creature in Christ. Old things were not passed away. So, you know, the door will for all of eternity be a part of our everyday lives, if you will, because Isaiah saw the posts of the door moving and the voices of the seraphim up in heaven. Yes, there are doors in heaven. There will apparently be doors in the New Jerusalem, just as there was a door to Noah's Ark. Now, folks, there are obviously, these are, as we've mentioned, and you look around this room, very literal doors, and what they provide for the Apostle John and for all of us here are very powerful illustrations, very powerful spiritual lessons about your life and my life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you haven't just walked through a lot of physical doors, material doors this week. More importantly, more significantly, you have had before you this entire week, and you will in the week ahead, a host of spiritual doors. And folks, I have to tell you, what you are right now, what you are becoming, what your children are becoming because of you. And so therefore, what you will all be and what I will be in the future is essentially the culmination of which doors you choose to open, which doors you choose to allow to be closed, and those that God opens and you walk through. Our Father in heaven, we need your help today, and we ask for it again. In men's prayer meeting yesterday, Father, we prayed for this very service, that every single person that would walk into a door into this room would have the door of their hearts open to your word. And I open my heart afresh and anew, God, and I ask for help. May we all hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. As we read a moment ago, "He that hath ear, the ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of you will agree with this morning that nobody really likes the notion of a closed door. And that's especially so in the sense that if the door is closed to you, if you're on the outside, I can recall in 1992, the thing that doomed the then First Lady's attempt at healthcare reform was the fact that she decided that it would all begin these secretive closed door sessions. Nobody likes that. The Bilderbergs are meeting up there in a closed door session somewhere in Virginia. Nobody likes that. You know, when our boys went off to college, they would on occasion, before they went off to college and were still living at home, on occasion they would close the door to their room. Now, I had a rule that they could close the door, but they could never lock the door. No teenager needs to lock the door of his bedroom in his own home. But you know, the truth is, even on occasion when I'd pass by and I would see the door open, closed, Call me a dictator, but I just didn't like it. So I would walk by, I would open the door, look in, smile, and then leave it open and walk away. I didn't want it. The only time I wanted a door closed was when Rick was practicing violin. I closed it, and I put a towel underneath, and I sealed it hermeneutically. I'm not a big fan of closed doors, and apparently I'm in good company because, you know, here, beloved, you have an example of certain doors that either God has opened to us or that He wants opened for us. What are they? The first one I want you to notice is clear in this text. It's a door of fellowship, communion with Christ. Chapter 3 and verse 20 says this. Jesus said, "Behold," in other words, pay attention, that word means, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him," that's a person, "and I will sup with him," that's a person, "and he," that's a person, "with me." Now, I know this verse is used a lot by people as an invitation to salvation, telling sinners that Jesus is knocking at their heart's door. But you know, the truth of the matter is this text isn't referring to lost people. It's referring to Christians inside of a local assembly, a local church that is God's people. And the amazing thing about this statement is that inasmuch as Christ wants this door of fellowship open, it is the believer who has shut it and who has kept it closed. In other words, the Lord Jesus is saying to you today, "I want your fellowship. I want to sup with you." We think of sitting down at a meal as a time of close fellowship, and truly it is, breaking of bread and so forth. The Lord says, "I want to sup with you, and I want you to sup with me. I want you to hear my voice, and I want to hear and answer your prayers." In fact, what the Lord Jesus is saying to these believers is that in spite of your surroundings there, in spite of your Laodicean leadership, materialistic, lukewarm environment, I still want a fellowship with any individual Christian who will hear my voice, who will hear my knock, and open the door to that heart inside of that assembly of believers. You see, folks, we cannot blame the church. You can't blame society. You can't blame the workplace. You can't blame your spouses or your circumstances with whether or not the door of fellowship with Jesus Christ is open between you and the Lord. The Apostle John, when he was writing this book, he was exiled on an island, a prison island. Patmos was much like what we think of Alcatraz. It was a barren place. The Romans would punitively isolate people there, and that's exactly what they did to John. But did you read a moment ago what happened in that isolated place in chapter 4, verse 1? "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard were as it were a trumpet." You see, folks, you cannot shut a Christian out of the presence of God. They put Paul and Silas into the inner prison. And then stocks, and they closed the iron gates behind them. And yet, all that while, there was a door that was open, wide open, in heaven. So you know what they did in that prison? The Bible says they sang, and they worshiped, and they fellowshiped with God in jail. Truth of the matter is, much of our New Testament was given from God to man while that man was locked up in a jail and in the worst of circumstances. So please hear this. No matter who the adversary is in your life right now, no matter what the obstacles or the circumstances, nobody else can close the door of fellowship with God except for you. No door on earth can shut out the door in heaven. You know, the disciples, you remember, were in the room where they assembled after the crucifixion. Remember how they gathered there? The Bible says in John chapter 20 that the doors were shut for fear of the Jews. They locked themselves in. The Bible also says that while they were there with the doors shut, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, "Shalom, peace be unto you." When our Lord was teaching the disciples to pray in Matthew 6, He said, "Go to a room, open a door, go inside the room, and then shut the door, and there you can best talk to God." It is an illustration and a reminder, beloved, that earthly circumstances do not ever keep Christ out of your life. Only you can keep the Lord out of fellowship in your life. God wants you this morning to open up the door of fellowship with Him and to keep it open every single day. Some of you may remember the Westminster Confession. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. A little boy in Sunday school quoted it and got it a little wrong. He said, man's chief end is to glorify God and annoy Him forever. You know what annoys God, truly? If anything annoys God, it is not coming to Him too much. It's closing the door and not coming to Him enough. You know, up in the town of Port Hope, Canada, there's a little monument there to a common, poor, unselfish working man who had in his selfless life completely impacted the people in that town, in that area. His name was Joseph Scriven. He was a man who in his youth was extremely bright. He had tremendous potential and goals and ideals for his future life, and he was deeply in love with a beautiful woman, a godly Christian woman who he looked forward to sharing his bright future with. But sadly, on the eve of their wedding, they pulled her body from a pond into which she had accidentally fallen and drowned. Joseph Scriven was in a state of shock for many months. He never again had that same desire for success in business, in his career. But he did devote his life to Christ, and he spent the rest of his days serving widows, orphans, and sick people. He's most known today for a simple poem that he wrote to his mother when he lost his bride-to-be that expressed the desire of his soul after losing his best friend. The poem says this: what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. God has opened a door, beloved. And you know, in a very real sense, every single believer in this room is the doorkeeper of the house of your own heart. Your heart, as David said, is your fortress, and you've got the keys. You must open its gates. And for a while, like Laodicea in our text, you have the prerogative and you have the privilege of refusing to open that door. But before you refuse, or if you neglect to open it, I want to remind you that you will be a miserable conqueror indeed without that fellowship. And you will suffer loss of blessed fellowship. And I mean communion, fellowship, prayer, walking with God, walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the peace that you will forfeit. And all the needless pain you will bear. Yes, there is right now at this moment a very powerful open door between you and God. And that door is there because at great cost, with the ultimate sacrifice, with the blood of God's Son that speaks there at the mercy seat, that speaks on your behalf, God has opened that way of fellowship to Him. Have you used it? Is it closed? I'm simply saying, how much time did you spend in prayer yesterday, today, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday? How much time did you spend in the Word of God with the open door to heaven so that God's Holy Spirit would speak to you and God would speak literally from heaven through that door? Brings us to a second door that avails us today. It's a door of opportunity. Look at chapter 3 and verse 8. The Lord says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Now hear me carefully. You know, more than once the Apostle Paul mentions the idea of an open door of opportunity to serve God. Everybody in this room can serve God in every situation, but there are times when specific doors are opened by God as unique opportunities for you to glorify Him. And of course, missing those opportunities, watch this, is almost always the result of closing first the door to fellowship. Let me illustrate it. Back in the days before modern harbors, an ancient ship always had to wait for the flood tides to come in before it could make it to port. The term for that in the Latin was ab, which means near, and portu, which means port. So literally it meant near the port. The Latin words, a ship was waiting for the right moment near the port. This is where we get the English word opportunity. The captain and the crew were ready and waiting for an open door because they knew that if they missed it, then they could not go in. Now, folks, keeping the door of fellowship open is being opportu. It is being near the port, near God, near His will, near His word. And it allows you to go through the doors that God opens up for you in your life for service and for blessing. Let me tell you something. The open door that our Lord gave to the church at Philadelphia is emblematic of every local church in every corner of the world for the past 2,000 years. Every local New Testament church is the result of some believer in fellowship with God who went through a door when God opened that door for them. Every ministry in every local church that ever glorified God is the result of a Christian who was ready when that door was opened for them. Every convert who was ever won to Christ became a Christian because of another Christian who was ready when the opportunity, when the door was open. Stay near the port, beloved. Keep the door of fellowship with the Lord Jesus open and open always. God has given us an open door of fellowship and continues, therefore, the open doors of service and ministry to Him. You say, but Pastor, these are the last days, and these are the days when Christians are maligned, the Bible is mocked, and the president's promoting same-sex, and Democrats are all for us gender selection and abortion. These are dark and terrible and horrible. Yes, you're right. But can I remind you of something? Do you know that just about anybody could have stood for the Lord in the early days of Whitfield or Moody or during the Great Awakenings? Most anybody could have followed the Lord Jesus Christ while He was healing in Galilee and feeding the thousands when He was popular. But what about at Jerusalem? What about the moment of trial and the crucifixion? You know, that's the time of opportunity. In verse 8, He says, you've kept My word, you've not denied My name. Therefore, you have this open door. This was a tough time for the church at Philadelphia. You know, you don't prove your loyalty to a friend when the friend is popular to the whole world. The best opportunity is when your friend is alone in the world. And when you live in a day when more and more people are abandoning the truth of Scripture and its complete authority over man, don't look at it so much as a restraint upon you. Look at it as an open door, an opportunity to be a good and faithful servant. Paul looked at that Philippian jail. And those iron doors clanked shut. You know what he looked at that jail? He looked at it as an open door, not a closed door. Daniel found that a lion's den, of all things, was an open door, even a fiery furnace, and three Hebrew teenagers. For those teenagers, that fiery furnace became an open door of great opportunity. And you know something, folks? As the world marches inexorably towards judgment and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ draws closer, the darkness of this world is not a fearful thing to a child of God. It's an opportunity to a child of God. The darker the night, the brighter the light. You know, the question is, with the door open before us, there's a door in South Florida. There's a door in Jupiter, Florida. There's a door in your neighborhood. With that door open in front of you, the only question is, will you go through it? Will Beacon Baptist Church walk through it? You know, folks, this is the greatest time, as far as I'm concerned, right now. The summer of 2012 is the greatest time in history to be a child of the living God. Why? Because you have an opportunity. You have an open door. You didn't have an open door in 1812. You have an open door in 2012. And that door of service to your Lord, of loyalty to God, you can prove your loyalty to Christ every single day in this society. That door of faithfulness, of being a part of building a New Testament church, is opened by Christ Himself. We read a moment ago that He has the key of David and Isaiah 22:22. That is the key of sovereignty. That is the key of control over the affairs of men. Christ opens the doors that man cannot shut. These are doors of fellowship. And these are doors of opportunity. You know, last night, technically this morning at 2 a.m., the power went off at our house, and of course, I was awakened not by the loud sound of a transformer exploding, although that's what happened. What woke me up was dead silence. 2 in the morning, no fan, no air conditioner, no beeps, no nothing. So I woke up and I grabbed a flashlight. The power was out. I walked outside to see if any neighbors had power. And when I stepped outside, right above me was a big, beautiful, bright moon. I didn't have any lights, but the whole neighborhood was lit up by the moon. And you know, as I stood there and looked at it, quiet early morning, I was reminded that the moon, you know, really it doesn't emit any light. It's just a gray, dead rock. But it does reflect light. It reflects the light of the sun. And so it is that when our Lord in Matthew chapter 5 said, "I am the light of the world," it was then that he said, "Ye are the light of the world." In other words, beloved, our light and our life is derived. It is his light. It is his life that we get to share with this world if we are in fellowship with him. If we don't walk with him and walk in the light, we're like dead rock. Almost dead weight. You see, every door of opportunity is linked to the door of fellowship. That's why we said 2 weeks ago when God says no, if you didn't get to go through a door that you wanted open, that really doesn't matter so long as the door of fellowship is always open. Because God has others for you. Walk with God, and you will go through doors because you are going through a door. You know, poor Jake over here, I saw him when I came in. Where are you at, Jake? There you are. Oh, he just woke up. Wake up, Jake. He's looking for an open door to a marriage altar, as you know. The other day, he was flying in a huge jet, and I don't know where he was going, but they were somewhere up north. They had a lot of empty seats, and this is the time of year when college kids are traveling home. Jake noticed his very pretty girl got on the plane. She looked around, noticed all these empty seats, and then asked if she could sit next to Jake. Man, his male ego exploded. He said, "Hi, my name is Jake. How are you?" And he thought, man, this is an open door. She said, "I'm very nervous. It's my first time flying alone." She said, "My mom said I should sit next to somebody I thought I could trust. And as soon as I saw you, I thought I could." He thought, wow. She said, "I thought I could trust you because you look just like my dad." You know, not all the doors are as open as we wish. But I'll say this for Jake and all believers. The door of glory is open all the time. And by the way, it is a door that stays open here. Every single day of your Christian life until you walk through it over there. I read a small biography just recently on the American writer Ernest Hemingway. You know, Hemingway was a gifted man with a troubled and messed up soul. He once said, "Man's existence is like a colony of ants on a burning log." It's no wonder with that kind of cynicism and jaded perspective that Hemingway took his life and wasted his gift. But you see, from our perspective, folks, life isn't that at all. Life is a glorious open door. It is a designated journey full of purpose and meaning and destiny. And even if a log is burning, there's a perfectly timed shoreline filled with glory that awaits every child of God. Christian parents in this room who still have children at home, you have an open door with those kids that one day will be closed. You have an open door right now for a few years that will blow by you like a blur. Walk through that door. It will not always be open. Christians who are citizens of our country, of America, we have an open door just like the church at Philadelphia. An open door in which we take a stand. We sang it a moment ago, stand up for Jesus. You have an opportunity in your neighborhood, in your school, where you work, in this society,
to take a stand for God, and taking a stand when more than any other time in our country's history, you will be castigated for that stand.
You have an opportunity. It's an open door. Members of Beacon Baptist Church, we have an open door. The Lord has opened a door of opportunity in this area to be a true Bible-believing, New Testament, not compromising church. Are you walking through that door? I haven't heard the song for years, but it says it well. By and by, when I look on his face, a beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. By and by, when he holds out his hands, welcoming hands, nail-riven hands. By and by, when I look on his hands, I'll wish I had given him more. God has put before us an open door of opportunity that one day is going to close. And again, the good news for every Christian in this room is when life's door closes, heaven's door opens. John Owen, on his deathbed, was dictating a final message to a friend. And he began to write these words, "I am still in the land of the living," and then he stopped. And he told his nurse to change it to these words, "I am yet in the land of the dying, and I'll soon be in the land of the living." That's the truth about the doors here. Sir Walter Scott said, "Death is not the last sleep for a Christian. It is the final awakening. It is the turning out of the light here because the dawn has come there." That is the truth, beloved. Death itself is an open door that God opens in his time. God has given you an open door right now, at this moment, at this very hour. Christian, God has given you and presents before you an open door. You may be here today, and you have not utilized that door and walked through it in fellowship with Christ. Some of you in this room, you may be here today and you're without Christ and without hope. You may be among those who will never see the welcoming hands of Christ to receive you up into glory. And if so, let me tell you about one final door that God has opened. It is the door of faith. This is the door that Paul mentions in Acts 14:27 when he said that, quote, "God has opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." I'm glad for that verse. In other words, you are given the invitation to come through the door of faith, to walk through it. Pastor Howe, Jesus said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Let me ask you a question. Would you be saved today? Then walk through that door of faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Not your works or your church, but Christ alone. Not religion, and be saved. This is God's door. This is the one that cost the blood and death of his own son because of your sin. Christian, again, the door of fellowship is open unless you close it. The door of opportunity is wide open unless you've closed the door of fellowship. God has graciously opened them up for us all. And one of these days, just like the Apostle John, we will see a door in heaven as well. And we will hear a voice saying, "Come up hither." And won't it be great if after that you hear another voice saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You will hear those words if you walk through the door of fellowship that God has given you now. Father, bless the invitation. We commit it into your hands. We thank you again. How often in the Bible you use this powerful metaphor of doors that you have opened. Paul said that there was an effectual door and that there were many adversaries. Open doors sometimes, Father, in your will includes adversaries, but may we be in fellowship with you through Christ so that we know the difference. For these who've asked for prayer, Father, draw them to you. May decisions be made that have eternal ramifications, eternal fruit. We'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.